Psalm 127 says this, Behold, children are a gift from the Lord. Amen. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. How blessed is the one whose quiver is full of them. Amen. They will not be ashamed when they speak with their enemies in the gate. They'll be able to face them toe to toe and say, listen, God's blessed me. And so today, we're blessed with all the kids that are here in church today. And each one that's, whether it's on the outside or whether it's on the inside of the womb. And so we're glad to have each one that's here in the house of God today. But we're here to worship Jesus. Amen? Amen. We're here to worship the Lord. Give Him praise. Brother, do you feel led to pray right now? Yeah. Glory. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. That's right. Yes, Lord. We can do nothing without you. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord.
We need Him more than the breath we take. We need Him more. More than words can say.
Yes, Lord. Jesus. Praise God. Praise Him.
Father, we come to you today, Lord God, knowing how much we need you, knowing how much you want to give it to us.
Yes, Father.
You want to bless us more than we want to be blessed.
Yes, Lord, that's right.
We come to a God needing the help of us, Lord God.
We need you.
Father, we come to you. There's people bound here today.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
They're coming to you today, Lord God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
And knowing that you, Lord God, can do all things.
Praise God.
You can break the chains.
We thank you, Lord, today, Lord God. We come to you in that heart of worship, Lord God, knowing that our God will take us through the trials we're going through.
Yes, He will.
Our God.
And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.
All heaven declares the glory of the risen Lord. Who can compare with the beauty of worship you alone.
God, I thank you that we love because you first loved us. I thank you that no matter where or what we go through, you have already gone before us. Father, I thank you that it's you that brings joy and cheer to our hearts and that you fill us with your joy. In Jesus' name.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, O God, for all that you have done. Lord, oh, you're so good. Oh, you're so good. Lord, you've given us everything. You've given us breath to breathe. You've given us the glory of nature to be able to behold your handiwork, Lord. You've given us the Spirit to keep us going and encouraging our hearts. Lord, in dark days, you are our light. Lord, we thank you, O God, for this church. Thank you for the folks that you've drawn here into this assembly today. Each one is special. Each one has gifts and abilities, maybe hidden, maybe even unknown to them. But Lord, even the children, Father God, Lord, there's much, much that can be done for the kingdom through them. We just pray a blessing upon them as they're at their classes now. Father, we pray, Lord God, for our nation, for our missionaries, and for those who serve you, for the camps, Lord. We pray as summertime is coming. Well, summertime is here. And Lord, we pray for the camps that are round about, not just the vacation Bible schools at churches, but the Lord, the Christian camps like Camp Kareth and Camp Mishawa and Iowa and other camps, Father, that proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ to young people. Lord, pray it be a season of refreshing in the presence of the Lord. Encourage the staff. We pray for great results from the kingdom because of the camps. Empower those that serve in those ministries, Lord, right now, and prepare them, Lord, as they're getting ready, prepare them for good things and protect them, Lord, from the evil one. This we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I'm going to ask my wife to come and sing a little something.
Lord, I come.
Yes, Lord. Shut that out of
the stay, Lord, I need you.
Download that I received, and I pass it on to you, in the sense that part of this message is from our bishop. She's been sharing part of this message, and so I'll be sharing in the last part of it something that he has kind of given as a download. But I've been sharing for the last number of weeks about spiritual principalities and powers. Pretty important stuff. I want you to listen up. I always like it how Dr. Stanley says, now listen up. You know, he's that fatherly figure. He says, now listen up. You know, I mean, they're listening, but when he wants to emphasize something, and I want to emphasize something this morning, so I want you to listen up. The first two spiritual forces that we dealt with, one was the spirit of religion. And just because we talked about it a few weeks ago doesn't mean we don't want to stop fighting it. But we expose it. Therefore, it'll be more visible. Therefore, you'll be fighting it more. And the second one was the spirit of Jezebel. And this week, we want to look at the spirit of defiance. Those are the three spiritual strongholds that our beloved bishop said are that he sensed and discerned were strongholds in the nation of Canada. And so I've come to this part. And before I really get into what is the spirit of defiance, there was a question that came up, and that's the next slide, and that was, what is the difference between a spirit of defiance and a spirit of rebellion? I was kind of wondering, you know, because, you know, I looked up in some books that I have, I went online, what is the difference between, I just really didn't find it, so I said, well, Lord, I guess you're going to have to show me, which is a good thing. I got, in the next slide, two pictures that I want to put up before you. One is that of a young boy in rebellion, we might call it. He's defying his father. He's, you know what the next thing would happen to him if he was my son. But anyways, a little hind tannin, but that is what we often think of when we think of defiance or we think of rebellion. And it's a negative thing. But then there's also this picture which was called at one point the most famous picture of the 20th century, and that is the 1980s. There's this man who, this Chinese student who in Tiananmen Square, and a friend of mine, Paul Weber, who was a missionary to Japan, he was there at that time and in that square. When this man stood up and there was somebody sneaked that photograph out of there and became kind of the representation of defiance against tyranny and rebellion, defiance against communism, against people crushing one another. But of course, we don't know where that young man went. And that sounds like a good thing, to be defiant. But let's be clear, we're not talking about bravery when we talk about defiance. We're talking about something that comes and emanates from darkness. And the thing that we're talking about when we say a spirit of defiance or a spirit of rebellion, we're talking about something that emanates from the enemy of our souls. It is never a good thing in the reference that I am taking it in. It always has a negative plan for the people of God. It always desires to kill, to steal, and to destroy, which is the plan of Satan for God's people. Amen? You understand? And so we're talking about the dark side. And so there's no goodness about it, even though there may be good references to defiance in our lives. But this is a spirit of defiance. Okay, we got that straightened. Now we can go on to what is a spirit of rebellion. I find, if you want to turn in the scriptures, if please do turn in the scriptures, I have two Bible stories here for you today. One found in Numbers chapter 16 and the other in 1 Samuel chapter 17. But here's what I want to say to the beginning. A spirit of rebellion attacks from within. This is where I felt in my study and in my prayer time that God was directing me. But a defiant spirit is an attack from without. Let me say that again. A spirit of rebellion attacks from within, but a defiant spirit is something that attacks from without. Remember, rebellion, the first rebellion was that of the angels. Remember, there was a rebellion in heaven? That was within. Rebellion is what I want to look at first. What is the spirit of rebellion? Well, rebellion is something that Jude's little message to the church, it was only one chapter, but in verse 11, he refers to the rebellion of Korah. So I want to bring your attention to Numbers chapter 16 and the story of Korah's rebellion. But before we do that, I want to pray. Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus, and Father, I take authority over every spirit. I take authority over the demonic realm. I take authority over every influence of negativity and destruction in the lives of believers that are here today. I take authority in the name of Jesus Christ over anything that would try to stand up and confront the name of Christ and the people of God. I pray against anything, any chain that needs to be broken. We break it in Jesus' name and pray, God, as the prophetic word came earlier, that they would let go and not try to grab hold of it again. Pray, Father God, that your name would be lifted up in the scriptures, thy word, O God, would be revealed, for we ask it in Jesus' name. In chapter 16, it says this, now Korah, the son of Izhar, and it goes on to all these names, this man who was of the tribe of Levi, this top dog, as it were, in the kingdom of Israel. It's before the kingdom part. It's actually in the desert, of course. In verse 2, it says, and they rose up before Moses. He gathered together a bunch of fellows. He rose up before Moses together with some of the sons of Israel, 250 leaders of the congregation. It was from within. Chosen in the assembly. I'm reading from the New International, not from the New International Version, but the American Standard Version. This is how it goes. Chosen in the assembly. Some versions refer to it as the council. Some would call it as the politicians. some smart fellas. Some leading in. Men of renown. In other words, these are the top guys. These are the educated class. This is the leading class. And it says in verse 3, and they assembled together against Moses and Aaron and said unto them, you've gone too far. For all the congregation are holy. Doesn't that sound sweet? Every one of them, and the Lord is in their midst. Sure sounds spiritual, doesn't it? Rebellion that comes from within always cloaks itself in a spiritual sounding or self-justifying way. Rebellion always rises up with a cause, with a just cause, it would seem. There is a petition. There is a grievance. There is something that we want to bring to your attention, and we are right and you are wrong. And so he says this, he continues on, so why do you, that is Moses, exalt yourself above the assembly of the Lord? Rebellion, when it comes with its just cause, that's what's on the front. But the spirit of rebellion, which we get from this scripture here, behind it is selfishness, jealousy, and even witchcraft, which the Bible identifies as the same as rebellion. Korah comes with all of his credentials. He comes with the mighty men. He comes as one who is a Levite and one who is a leader in Israel, one who is respected amongst his peers. He comes, one might say, with his degrees, with his education, with all of his requirements. And he says, here I am. I am more qualified to lead Israel than Moses is. But I tell you something, God isn't interested in his credentials. God isn't interested in a talent contest. God isn't interested in a resume. It wasn't that Korah and the boys that he gathered were not qualified. I'm sure they were greatly qualified, but they were not called. He brought 250 with the most impeccable resumes, the greatest of credentials, the most respected amongst the people. You see, a rebellious spirit tries to claim that it is qualified. And oftentimes it condemns the leadership or it condemns whatever it opposes with the actual same thing that condemns itself. You see, he condemned Moses. He accused Moses. He says, you've gone too far, Moses. Well, he went too far. Well, you're exalting yourself above all of Israel. Well, Korah was exalting himself above all Israel. The thing that he was rebelling and the statement that came out of his mouth and the accusation of the spirit of rebellion is actually a mockery almost of the thing that it itself is guilty of. You've gone too far. It reminds me of the old idiom that my grandma used to use, and if you're under the age of 50, you probably don't know it that well, and that is, you know, it's the pot calling the kettle black. You know, that's... You remember that? Your mom says that? She's how old? 110? What is she? 96. I was close. You know, and I came across a little book. I'm doing some cleaning. I'm doing some books packing and whatnot. I came across a little primer of my great-grandma. And from Lanark, from the Highlands. And here's one of the primers. Oh, said the pot to the kettle, you're dirty, ugly, and black. Sure no one would think you were metal, except you were given a crack. Not so, the kettle said to the pot, 'tis your own dirty image you see. For I am so clean, without spot or without blemish, that your blackness is mirrored in me. In other words, what he's saying is this: you're seeing your own self, your own weaknesses, your own rebellion. You're seeing the own thing, the very thing that you're accusing me of, really that's where it's coming out of your heart. Moses' reaction, let's look at this for just a second here. Moses' reaction, how did he react? How did he react to the spirit of rebellion? This being the example. Verse 4, and Moses heard this. He shot back a real zinger of an argument. No, that's not what it says. He went and got 250 of his own guys who had qualifications too and lined them up across in front of the two. No, that's not exactly what happened. What happened in verse 4, it says, when Moses heard this, he fell on his face. He humbled himself. Humility is the first response we have to give to rebellion. When a rebellious spirit comes up from within, whether it's within our family, within our workplace, within our church, within our lives, whatever, humility is the first response. Too often leadership will take a hard line or either that or run away, one or the other. But Moses, he just went and fell on his face. That is a sign of coming before the Lord God Almighty. That is a sign that what he is facing is so horrific. That rebellion, the spirit of rebellion rising up because he knew his God, he had a relationship with God Almighty, he understood that he was called to this position, and he understood immediately that God was not going to be very happy with this, and this was going to hurt his sheep. This was going to hurt Israel. He fell on his face. He said, I know that God has called me. This is how he responded to them. He made a direct confrontation with Korah. He said, basically, I'm just going to paraphrase. He said, I know that God has called me, but you are welcome to pretend to be a priest in Israel. You go ahead and take 250 sensors, that is to say, the thing that makes smoke, that is to say, the thing that is that represents intercessory prayer, and he says, you give it to all your lads, your 250 phonies. I mean, he didn't say that. He said, you give it to your lads. He says, you go and pray all night. That's fine. You go ahead and choose. You go ahead and try. If that's what you want, you go ahead and try. But I tell you what, God will show us tomorrow who's his. Verse 9, it says of this, chapter 16, verse 9, it says this. The second thing he does, first of all, it's an act of humility. He goes before the Lord. It's humility. He gets his bearings with God first. Before you ever go against anybody that's coming up against you, get your bearings with God first. Then he says, go right ahead. Do what you got to do. Do what you feel like, do what you're going to do. But then he warned them and he said this. He reminded them of what they're going to lose if they confront them. He says, verse 9, is it not enough for you that the God of Israel has separated you from the rest of the congregation of Israel to bring you near to himself, to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord, and to stand before the congregation and minister to them? He's saying, Don't you appreciate that God has given you a great calling? Don't you appreciate that God has given you the opportunity to serve Him? And friends, listen, if you're parking a car in the parking lot for the Lord, or if you're making cookies for a church social, or whatever it is that God, if you're praying, whatever it is that God has called you to do, if you're doing it for the Lord, it's a wonderful and a rich and a glorious calling. Amen. Whatever it is that you're doing for God, it is a wonderful thing. And Moses reminded them, isn't it good that God has allowed you to do this? If you rebel against God's anointed, He's going to take that away from you. In fact, He's going to take away your life. Moses and Aaron then, the next step, I'm just kind of going quickly through it, they went into an intercession. They went before the Lord God. They went and started praying for the people, for the sheep, because rebellion is like cancer. It spreads. And so they went in intercessory prayer, Moses and Aaron, the leadership, and they prayed, and God spoke to Moses and said, listen, he says, I'm sick of this. He says, I put you in charge and I put Aaron in charge. Listen, if they don't want to be led by you, I'll wipe them all out. And Moses and Aaron said, Lord, no, don't do it. Moses and Aaron stood in the gap for the people of Israel. And so instead of wiping them all out, God just wiped out the ones that rebelled. Moses and Aaron went to the people. He said, listen, don't choose rebellion. Choose the Lord's anointed. Moses and Aaron went to them and said, listen, it's going to be a very costly thing if you rebel against the Lord. It's going to be very costly. Listen, it's not rebelling against me. And this is what they had to see. They had to see that it wasn't Moses and Aaron. It was who was the one that put Moses and Aaron in charge. That when you rebel against God's setup, you're really rebelling against God. And so many people were spared. Tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands were spared. But some estimate between 11 and 14,000 joined the rebellion and were swallowed up when God destroyed them. So that's rebellion. Rebellion is something that happens from within. There is that example of Korah. And that is what is at work when there is a spirit of rebellion. It's something that rises up within and says, I can do a better job than that. It's something that rises up and says, they say they're so holy, I'm holier than them. It's something that rises up and said, you have a just cause. You've been hurt. You've been maligned. You've been whatever else. And the offense that happens comes in and opens up a wound and allows something ugly to come in. In this case, a spirit of rebellion. But what is a spirit of defiance? In fact, I got it before I go on to the spirit of defiance. You can leave that one up there. And that's 1 Samuel chapter 17, the spirit of defiance. Before I go there, I got to rebuke the spirit of rebellion right now in the name of Jesus. in me and in you. You do it too. All right? Let's pray right now. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, and we say, Lord, if there's any of the attitude of Korah, if there's any of the attitude because of the pain, because of the hurt, because of the situations we found ourselves in, because of what people have said, whatever it may be, wherever it may have come from, Lord, if there's any ounce, if there is any cells of cancer, of rebellion in us, Lord God, Lord, just kill them right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we appreciate what you have done for us. Lord, the opportunities that you've given us, Lord, have been good and righteous and wonderful, Father, and we appreciate it. Lord, help us to do them better. Help us, Lord, to do the things that you've called us and are leading us to do them even better with greater anointing. Father, free us, the community of God, from anything within our families. We rebuke the spirit of rebellion within our workplaces. We rebuke the spirit of rebellion within, Lord God, our church. We rebuke the spirit of rebellion in the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said amen that agree. And then we come to the spirit of defiance. This is the one that comes from without. This is when a spirit rises up against Israel. That is the church of Jesus Christ. It's the spirit of Goliath. If you turn with your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17, I better get there myself. You'll find the story of David and Goliath. Oh, what a wonderful children's story it is. But what a wonderful truth it is to us. The spirit of Goliath today is in our nation. The spirit of Goliath is something that is rising up against the church of Jesus Christ, and it's from without, and it's rising up its head, and it's defying the church of Jesus Christ. It is defying our Christian heritage. It is defying our Christian values. It is defying everything that is holy and godly that this nation of Canada has been blessed by for hundreds of years, and it's rising up, and it's saying, I defy you and your God. You see, in Goliath was this monster guy. You know the story. I don't have to take the time to read the story to you. Hey, it should be there from your background, from way back yonder. But if you look at this story, the story of David and Goliath, really it's a battle not only between David and Goliath, but it's between Jehovah and the gods of the Philistines. I want to start reading, let's not do the whole thing, but let's read verse 8. Here is Goliath, here is the spirit of defiance, and he stood up and he shouted to the ranks of Israel. Friends, that is the church of Jesus Christ. And he said to them, why do you come out and draw up in battle array? Why do you bother what you do? Why do you make such a fuss? Why do you do the things that you... What are you making? What are you complaining about? Am I not the Philistine and you servants of Saul? Choose a man of your own selves and let him come down to me. And if he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will become your servants. Lie. That's what the devil does. Don't worry, it's a lie. But if I prevail against him and should kill him, then you become my servants and serve us. And again, the Philistine said, in the New American Standard Version, verse 10 of 1 Samuel 17, I defy the ranks of Israel this day. That's a declaration of war. I defy the ranks of Israel this day. This one from the outside understood who God was. It's not that he was ignorant of who Jehovah was. He understood the God of Israel. He just had different gods. He understood that the people that were gathered there in arrayed in army, before him, worshiped the God Jehovah of Israel. And when he stood up and he said, I defy, he was looking in the face of Almighty God with his gods and in the face of his face of God's people, whom we today represent him. And he was saying, I defy the church of the living God. That's what it would be today. That's what the Spirit does. That's what the Spirit of defiance does. It rises up. We see it in Parliament. We see it in our courts. We see it in the highest court of the land, the Supreme Court. We see it all over the place. We see it in our schools where the spirit of defiance rises up, knowing the history of this country, knowing the common law of this country, knowing the Constitution of this country says there were one God, that we are under the supremacy of God and the rule of law, knowing that our national anthem says, God keep this land. Knowing these things, the spirit of defiance rises up and says, I defy the church of the living God. Whew. Here's the response that Israel had. And I think it's mirrored in many of our churches today. The first response was, what does he say there? When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistines, they were all dismayed or discouraged and greatly afraid. Verse 11. They said, oh, look what the Supreme Court has done. No, I did the same thing. Look, they ruled the Supreme Court, in case you're wondering what I'm making reference to, the Supreme Court of Canada actually, just in one sweeping decision, actually put the rights of one group of people as more important than the rights of Christians or religious people. Used to be balanced, now actually one is more valuable in that, even despite our Constitution, despite a whole lot of things. There were two judges that disagreed, but seven of them that agreed. And so these kind of things are going on. Not that we should be surprised, but these are defiant things. And here, what does the church respond to? We're dismayed. Oh, we're dismayed. Put her back, son. We're dismayed. We're discouraged. And what is what the devil always likes us to do? He wants to put us down. The word dismayed means downcast. Oftentimes, I think King James maybe even, but that's oftentimes how it, downcast, because it brings you down, doesn't it? It brings you low, it brings you down, it makes you depressed. It's a downer. Our spirits are made low. We become depressed. If we allow the spirit of defiance to get into us, this is what it wants to do. It wants to bring us down and make us feel defeated and low and worthless and stupid. You stupid Christians. That's what they want you to think. We got 250 guys on our side going back to Korah, but here is the spirit of defiance saying, look, all these educated people, they're saying this. You don't know what you're talking about. And of course, it wants to make us afraid because, you see, the spirit of defiance works with other spirits. If we can get afraid of something, then that something wins. Doesn't matter what it is. At this point, Goliath, for 40 days, never wielded his sword, never threw his massive spear. You want to see the dimensions of his sword, the dimension of his spear, the dimension of all those things. It's all listed there in the Bible. He never threw it. He never waved it. All he did was talk for 40 days. And it was his talk that was defeating Israel. In fact, in verse 25, it says that when he would come, the army would come out, and when Goliath would come out and say these slurs against the people of God, it says in verse 25, and they would flee away. They ran. Verse 26, I got to get to the good part. Because a young man, David, comes in. A young man, David. Oh, Lord God, give us the Davids, give us the young men, give us the young women who are not afraid, who have not been sitting there listening to this garbage and soaking it in and letting it come into their spirit and destroy their faith. Praise God, give us some young men. Are you in agreement with me today, or am I just rambling up here off the top of my head? Amen. Give us today some young men and some women in this nation on this eve of Canada Day. Give us some young men. Send them to camp. Amen. Raise them up. Give us some young people that are not scared, that are not dismayed, that are not discouraged, that are not embarrassed to be Christians. When they come before the classroom, don't let anybody know that I'm a Christian, because they'll make fun of me. They'll poke fun of me or whatever it may be. Lord, raise them up. That'll be ready to stand up to the spirit of defiance that's in this nation. David comes on the scene. Praise be to God. Whew. He had a different kind of reaction from the majority. He has the anointing. Lord. Just felt a Holy Ghost kick. He's got the anointing. He doesn't come in with all the qualifications and the experience and all this kind of stuff, although he does tell Saul when he offers himself and his services, he said, listen, I defeated a bear, I defeated this lion, you know, whatever else. Listen, I can, this uncircumcised Philistine, nothing for my God. Woo! He comes in and he says, he doesn't see the size of the giant. He doesn't listen to the things that he is saying, but rather he sees his God. Here's what leadership does, brother. Here's what it does. It makes mistakes, you know, but we make mistakes as leaders. The first thing he does, verse 33, it attempts to discourage him. Here's what Saul the king says when a young man comes up. You know, when young voices come up, when people come, they don't have to be young. They don't have to be numerically young, but whenever a fresh spirit. You know, you can be 92. Our sister's mom is 96. You know, she could have a young spirit. She can have a visionary spirit. She can have one that is fresh and anointed and ready. At 96, you can rise up that voice that is fresh and young and has vision. Amen? Doesn't matter how old you are. But let's look at it this way. Here's David, a fresh, anointed young man comes up. And here's what Saul does to me. He says, you can't do it. You won't be able to. You're going to get your clock cleaned. You shake your head. But listen, when you go up against the spirit of defiance in our nation, you must know that you will win because the Lord has called you. Amen. The second thing that he does, which is an error, is that he attempted to equip David with carnal armor. I don't have time to get into the scripture, but you look at that scripture, you'll find how that he went there. He said, put on this armor. He got all dressed up in King Saul's armor, and it was rather foolish looking. But listen, the second thing, the principle is this. When you go up against a spirit of defiance in our nation, you must know that you will win because the Lord has equipped you. Anybody know the armor of God? Someone just yell out some pieces of the armor of God. What's that? Faith. Hope. Yes. Shoes of peace. Preparation of the gospel. Yes? Yeah. Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You people got the armor on this morning? And so he comes out against Goliath. The only attack that Goliath has made in 40 days, and the only attack that Goliath makes against young David, is with his mouth. Intimidation, belittlement. Who am I that you should, am I a dog that you should bring this little thing to come against me? And it says he cursed David by his gods. He cursed him. And how does David confront the defiance? Well, of course, you know, he went to the little brook. Amen. Five sons, we only needed one, because God Almighty can take the one and he can defeat the lion, he can defeat the bear, and he can defeat the spirit of defiance. And where does he hit Goliath? He hits him right here. And this is where we will defeat the defiant spirit that's in this nation. You know, we will hit them right here.
in the sense that we're not against flesh and blood, but people with the knowledge of God, with the wisdom of God, with the truth, with the armaments of the Word of God, will hit them right here, and that will bring them down. It's not a mindless religion that we have today. I was listening to Rabbi Zacharias this morning. What an amazing guy. He was an apologist of the Scriptures and is able to speak a lot smarter than somebody from the Highlands of Lanark. Amen? But you don't have to be educated, etc., but you do have to have truth. And communicate that truth and stand up and say, this is the way it's going to be. And David stood up and said, in the name of the Lord God Almighty, in the name of the Lord God of Israel. And he hit them right there. He got them right there. And that's what brought him down. And look what happens after Goliath goes down. You all know the story. What happens after Goliath goes down? It says that the Israelites, the army of Israel, shouted victoriously and surged forward. This is one particular version. They shouted victoriously. Before, what was it? It was defeat. They were confessing, we can't do it. They were confessing negativity. They were confessing all kinds of things. And they were becoming what they were confessing. And now when they saw Goliath go down, all of a sudden they didn't see all of the army. Goliath wasn't the only dude that showed up. There was a whole other group of guys with spears and swords and stuff that day. But when they saw Goliath go down, when the spirit of defiance went down, when the one that went down that stood up with all his strength and cursed the God of Israel and cursed the church of Jesus Christ, when he went down, what did the little guys do that were in behind him? It says they ran. And it says that the army of God surged forward. Friends, are you going to run or are you ready to surge forward? Are you going to run tail betwixt your legs and run back and hide somewhere? Or are you going to surge forward? Is this a retreat that we're having? We know that Christians like to go on retreat, but that was to be refreshed. But this is not about retreat. The army of God and the spirit of defiance is about us taking down the enemy and surging forward. It's time that the church went forward. I know there's opposition. I know there's Goliath. I know there's that spirit of defiance that's rising up itself against the church of Jesus Christ. But friends, greater is he that's with you than he that is in the world. Amen. Don't be discouraged. Don't believe the lies. Don't believe what you see with your eyes, but believe what's in your heart, that God is greater. That he has a plan for you. He has a plan for this nation. He's got a plan for your families. He's got a plan to prosper and to bless. And if the enemy says he's going to come to prosper and to bless, don't believe you'll be in so much debt that you'll never be able to get there. God has a plan. Let's stop being afraid. Let's stop running and hiding. Let's start speaking to defiant, giant, and say, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, with the truth, I'm set free, and I'm taking you down, in Jesus' name. Would you stand with me? Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, today, in the name of Jesus. Father, we confess as a church, we confess as a people, we confess as a body that we at times have gotten discouraged and depressed and we've been afraid. And many times when the defiant spirit has risen up, we have ran and hidden behind church doors, hidden behind religion, hidden behind pastors, hidden behind elders, hidden behind our creeds and our ceremonies. Hoping that when we go out from there, they'll have gone away. But they haven't gone away. For 40 days. 40 is a number of perfection in the Bible. The number of a spiritual trial. It's important. Numbers are critical. Lord, there has been a season that the church has ran away and hid. Father, forgive us for that, Lord. And we don't want to, we're not coming against people. We're not coming against individuals. We're not going to speak names of politicians. We're not going to speak individual names of judges. It is a spirit of defiance that has come in to our nation and has risen itself up and defied the church of Jesus Christ and our glorious heritage in the Lord. And we speak to Goliath. Why don't you speak to Goliath, saints of God? Speak to that defiant spirit and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, you're coming down. In the name of Jesus Christ, you're coming down. And I've got something in my satchel. I've got something in my little bag that I picked up along the way. I've got the truth of Jesus Christ. I've got the truth on my side. I don't care how many scientists you gather. I don't care how many educated men you gather. I don't care how many degrees you got from Harvard. But I've got the truth of Jesus Christ. And I'm throwing it your way. Glory to God. In the name of Jesus. Coming down. You're coming down. In Jesus' name, amen.